Let's come before the Lord. Yes, Heavenly Father, as we welcome you this morning, Lord, we do welcome Charlotte and just pray, Father God, that you'll be with her now as she leads us in your word. Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through her to us, that we might open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we might receive it as a blessing, and Lord, that we might go out into the day and rejoice and speak up to others about you as well. Just bless Charlotte this morning, Lord, and be with her. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Right. It's my pleasure and privilege indeed to be able to bring a word to you this morning. And I trust that the word that God has laid on my heart to share with you resonates with you and that you take it to heart and take it into the days and the weeks ahead with you. I was just saying earlier this morning, it seems that every time I bring you a message, I seem to condense it into three words. If you recall, one of the messages I brought you was entitled, "Where Are You?" And then the next one was, "Who Are You?" And today I'm going to bring you another three words that for me are just so profound. They sound simple, but they're very deep. And those three words are, God has said. And the text that I've used to speak on today comes from the letter to the Hebrews. Now, nobody is really sure who wrote this letter to the Hebrews. It's attributed to Paul, but it's not certain. But this letter, no matter who wrote it, this letter to the Hebrews was written mainly to the Jewish teachers and believers, people who had believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but were then suffering persecution for that new faith. They refused to bow down and worship the Roman emperor and the Roman gods as they were forced to. And so they were thus seen as a threat to the Roman Empire. Their only refuge from persecution, these new believers in Jesus as Messiah, their only refuge from the persecution was to hide in the temple. But that created a problem, because if they went into the temple, it meant they were defying and denying their new faith. So they had a choice, Jesus or safety. So this letter to the Hebrews was, and is still today, an encouragement to stand firm in our faith in Jesus as Messiah. And Messiah means the anointed one, the chosen one, the one sent by God to be humanity's savior. So, Hebrews 13 verse 5. In the NIV version of the Bible, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That same verse, Hebrews 13 verse 5, in the English Standard Version, the ESV, says, very similar, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you." Three words, God has said, or he has said. So much is encapsulated in these three words, and today I'd like to turn your attention to these three words, to the absolute depth of what they say to us. So who is this he? He is the creator of the universe and all that is in it. He is God, our Father in heaven. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, just those three words are so powerful. They can destroy all of our fears, anxieties, despair, and stress, if only we take them to heart. You know, what is it about Christians today? And I have to admit that I sometimes stand in the midst of them, that we spend so much time being stressed. We have huge worries about Mr. Trump, about Mr. Ramaphosa, about all the shenanigans going on in Parliament, about the future of this country, that is hurtling in a downward spiral at a rate of knots. We stress about all the terror activities and atrocities being committed around the world, especially against Christians. And you know, this whole sermon today will be destroyed because we discuss these things after the service, over coffee, in the car park, or at our dinner tables or social gatherings. But how about taking seriously those words from Scripture? Those three words, He has said. God has said. We regularly pray, God be with us, when we get into our cars to travel, when we go to the hospital or the doctor, or when we need help. What does God say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We hear the promises in Scripture, yet we listen to the voice of the evil one. We listen to the voice of the world. We hear and absorb the garbage that the media spews at us daily. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will walk with you through the deepest valley, through the burning fire, because I am your shepherd, your shelter, your provider. We need nothing more than that. And you know, this is a Bible. This is my Bible. The unchanging, dependable word of God. And we must hold tightly to all its promises. Say to God, you said this, so I believe it. Every word in that Bible. God said to Abraham, I am your great reward. I am your shield. If He said it to Abraham, He says it to you and to me. So when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and comb out the tangles of your night's sleep, put on your face paint, brush away the residue of a restless night, say to yourself, God is my great reward and my shield. He is my shepherd, my guide, my protector, as He has promised. Don't hang on to what the world tells you, what your eyes tell you. Don't trust what the world wants you to believe, what agenda the politicians are pushing on us. Exercise discernment and test it all against the Word of God and stand on His promises. Listen only to His voice. If you are a child of God, He will take care of you. His word says so. So don't destroy the good news you hear in a sermon by immediately falling into Satan's trap of negativity. We can counter all the doom and gloom with just three words. God has said. Amen. You know, Terry told me something very pertinent last Sunday. Just an apostrophe can cause a 180-degree turnaround. The word impossible, with the insertion of an apostrophe, becomes I'm possible. I am possible. I am the great I am. So with the great I am, everything is possible. The great I am can do more than we can ever conceive. I have here a little card given to me many years ago by someone I was not particularly close to. I have no idea why she gave it to me, actually, but I treasure it. And it was possibly even more special because it was someone not close to me, but she felt inclined and led to give me this little card. And it says, have no fear of what the future holds, for God holds the future. I have another little card given to me by a very dear friend who I taught with for many years, a lovely Christian friend of mine. And again, this one sits on my mirror, and these are the things I look at in the mornings as a good start to my day. And this one says, whatever it was that may have been against you in the past is no match for the one who is for you today. and who holds all your tomorrows in his hand. You know, it's often these little reminders that bolster our faith when we're troubled, that keep the light shining when things look dark, and they draw us again to the great I Am. Psalm 17, verses 6 to 8, is a wonderful example of calling on God for help. And it says, I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in there from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Are those not beautiful words? Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings. There's no room for doubt if God has said it. We must believe what he says if we profess to follow him. We need to put all our faith and trust in him and him alone, and not in the trickery, deceit, and lies we are fed by the evil one. Don't conform to the world's standards. Conform to what he has said. For then he will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never walk alone, and not only if you're a Liverpool supporter. God has said, I will lead you beside still waters. I will restore your soul. And you know, don't we all long for that restoration, for that peace, in the turmoil that surrounds us, in the troubles we hear about, our own troubles, our own trials. We long for peace and restoration. And God says he will lead us beside still waters. And you know, I also wonder if God shakes his head sometimes when we cry out, God, please be with me. As I travel, as I go into hospital, as I face this hurdle in my life. God says, remember scripture, remember my words and my promise never to leave you. Every trial you go through will become a testament so that people may see God working in your life. It saddens me that so many of us experience despair. And I know that it's a feeling that sometimes threatens to overwhelm me, but I hold fast to the words of God, I will never leave you. We are like people locked in a dungeon, needing the correct key to get out. And that reminds me of a scene in the movie Titanic, you know, the great big dramatic sinking of this great ship. That scene where two of the main characters are trapped behind a security gate as the ship is going down. They're desperately searching for the right key to open the gate to let them out so that they can be saved. There's high drama, the water's freezing, it's swirling around them. They are freaking out because they can't get out from behind this gate. They have a whole bunch of keys, but only one will open the door, and they have to scrabble through all of these keys, searching for the right one. Why do we remain locked in a dungeon of despair when there is the key to freedom and only one key? That key is Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. And all we have to do is take that key, and we will have a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be our guide. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Look, you might be sopping wet. Your hair might get singed, but you'll survive because God will be with you. And people will see God at work in you so that you can be an encouragement to others facing trials. You know, God's promise to always be with us can be found as far back as in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6, where God makes this promise to the Israelites as they're entering the promised land. And he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So for all time, that promise of God stands. And then the book of Acts is a wonderful testimony to the power of God. The early church had no money, no government support, no human rights bill to help it along. There was immense persecution of the early Christians, yet they never gave up. They were forbidden under pain of death to preach about Jesus, yet the church thrived. Why? Because God has said that his word will never return void. It is, and he is, from everlasting to everlasting. All of this tells us to be definite in believing what God has said. Doubt none of God's word. Allow no shadows over it. No maybes. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 99, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So that means that the word is settled here for us too, if we allow it to be. The Holy Spirit works hard. And he works around the clock trying to get us to settle the word of God in our minds and spirits, so that we can go on and do the work he sets up for us. You know, sometimes it isn't enough to just have faith. We need to exercise that faith. The Holy Spirit came to baptize, to live and abide in us when we are born again. He is here to help, to teach, and to guide us in using the things that God provides. The things God has made possible for us to do here and now. Philippians 4, verse 19 assures us, and I'm sure you all know this verse, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ask yourself, do you really believe God will supply all your needs? God said it, so we must believe it. God said it, not man said it. So let us take hold firmly of that key, here and now, if you haven't already done so. Those three precious words, God has said, are our key, our password to living a life of peace, without fear and trembling, and living for eternity with Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Finished and clear. Can we just close with a word of prayer? Father God, thank you that you are here with us. For we know that you have said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be also. And so we know, we have no doubt, that you are here with us. Father, forgive us that so often we don't take your word seriously. We thank you for the assurance today that we are never alone, that we do not fight our battles in our own strength, that you are always with us. You know each of our struggles, what baggage we dragged into church with us, burdens of finances, health worries, relationship issues. But you, God, have said that you are the one unchanging, dependable constant in our lives. You have said you will give us our daily bread and meet our every need. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which bears witness to our hearts that we are your children. Help us to hold on to your many promises as we negotiate these difficult yet exciting times we are living in. Thank you for the joy we have in knowing you, loving you, and being in this family together. Thank you too for the knowledge that you go with us as we leave this house, and you will never leave our sides all praise and glory to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen.